And he's called us, spoken to us in our hearts, to preach. He's called us with an holy calling. It's the most important thing in all the world, to teach people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says something wonderful. Not according to our works, not because we were brilliant, not because we got 10 out of 10 every time we wrote an English essay. At least our English masters never gave 10 out of 10, because they wouldn't believe that an essay was ever perfect. But sums can be 10 out of 10. So here we have this wonderful thing. Paul says that God called us to preach, that's those who do, and to speak, and calls us to be Christians, not because of anything we've done, but because he wanted us. And he wanted us before he made the world. He knew about me, knew about you, before the world was even created. That takes some taking in, doesn't it? But it's really very marvellous, because the Lord wanted me that badly. It gives me security, doesn't it? Sometimes you feel nobody cares for me, nobody wants me. But if God cared for me that much to know me from before the foundation of the world, I've got nothing in that sense to be afraid of. I belong. I belong to him. And that is crucial. And he says, God chose his people before the world was made. But now, the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and it's by him that we are saved. He has brought what it means really to live so that we can see it. And he's brought immortality, that's never dying, for us. And I'm a preacher, that's his book. And he's telling Timothy to encourage him to do it. But it's the last verse, and it's that next verse 12 that I'm going to talk about. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Well, I'll explain that later when the time comes. Got your hymn book, Cheyenne. I don't know if any of you spotted a rather lovely thing in verse 3. Jesus, I can trust thee, trust thy written word, that's the Bible, though thy voice of pity I've never heard. We never heard him, but everything he said that we will have to know is here. So we can hear his voice even while we read. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen me, but have believed. There's a special blessing to live 2,000 years later, not seeing Jesus, but believe in him. That is a wonderful thing to do. I hope it may be possible to sing that chorus later in the week, perhaps, if you've got a chance. There we are. So now, if you get your Bibles, and we're back at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You've got it still open. That was very clever. 2 Timothy chapter 1. But further on, you were all right to have it at the page you had it, Sean. Yeah, the next page. No, the other way. The other way. Other way. Other way. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to think about the words that finish verse 12. Words that Paul wrote. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. This verse is about two people, Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also about you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, it's written in the book, so we can do what Paul did. So it's about Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ, but it can be about you and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just the two of you can talk to the Lord Jesus Christ even now, while Paul did. So he's talking about Paul. I know, he says, I know whom I have believed. That's Jesus. I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus. I know why he came. Why he came was wonderful. You could put your hands up if you've never sinned. There we are. How many times, I wonder, do you sin in a day? How many times do the children on the school bus say, my God, or something like that, when the Bible says it's against the Ten Commandments, 10 things you must never do, to take the Lord's name when you're not actually praying to him? So we are all sinners. I was, and still am. And one day I hope to be absolutely perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ. But we begin believing in the Lord Jesus by saying to him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve that you should look at me and care for me and watch over me and help me. I've done things wrong. I'm sorry I've done those things wrong, because your love is so wonderful. I'd rather have that. But I have sinned. And Paul knew that Jesus had come to take away our sin. You all know the story of Jesus being nailed to the cross at Calvary. It was a cruel death. But it was for you. It was for me. It was for Paul. I've often thought about them knocking the nails into his feet, and thought, I don't think I'd ever could put up with that. More than I could do. And the nails through his hands. I don't think I could do that or allow that to happen. But it happened to the Lord Jesus, and he willingly went through it for me, for you, for Paul. I know whom I have believed. But you have to believe something about him. And Paul believed that he'd come because he was a sinner. Actually, he'd been a murderer. He took Christians before he was a Christian, lugged them off, men, women and children, lugged them off to prison and had some of them killed. So he was a murderer. But he knew that even though he was as bad as that, the Lord would love him. Now, the Lord loves you whether you're bad or whether you're good. Because if you're good, you're only sort of good compared with the next person. You're not good compared with some people. So whoever we are, however clever we are, we're not good, not really. We may be good at what we do, but God has given us the talents we have. It's not our fault. Not our fault that I can think. Not my fault that I can talk and preach. In fact, I couldn't do it when I was younger. But it's because the Lord has given us gifts, and even come to sinners such as we are, and died for us that cruel death. Now, why did he die? Well, one day when I die, supposing the Lord hadn't loved me, one day when I die, I would have faced a very, very angry God, creator of the world and all things in it. And he would say to me things like, what did you think you were doing when you said that? Why did you say that to so-and-so? Couldn't you imagine you hurt that person? A very angry God, listing every single thing you've ever done wrong, all by yourself. You're just there with God. Terrible prospect. And Jesus came to bear himself on the cross, the punishment that God would have brought on me, but Jesus has borne it. And he's done it for all those who believe in him. He's paid the price for the sins of those who believe in him. In 3 hours on Calvary, he bore the sin away of everyone who would ever believe in him. It makes him unique. No one else has ever cared for me like that. Certainly none of my mates at school. No one else has ever cared for me. And the same goes for you. Parents may be very, very caring and look after you and, and love you, but nobody ever cares for you. They can't do what Jesus has done. They can't take away your sin. There's a very famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. God so loved the world. He did love the world. God loves the world. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, that's the Lord Jesus, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves the world, and everyone was perishing, but only those who believe in the Lord Jesus go on with his love and are pardoned and have a place in heaven after this life is over. And Paul said, I know Jesus. But he didn't only mean that he knows about Jesus, that Jesus died for him, that Jesus bore his sins, but he also knew him like we would know a friend. Because Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, into the world to enter into the heart, into the very part, center of us, of those who believe in him. Ever since I became a Christian when I was 16, I have known that the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to befriend me. And I don't just kneel down in prayer, I often do. I pray most of the day, pray as I walk along, pray as I'm doing all sorts of things. And I love to talk to the Lord, and I know he loves to hear my voice because the Bible says so. So Paul didn't only know about the Lord Jesus and about what he did, he also, when he believed, knew the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus had died just before he was became a Christian, but he knew him because his Holy Spirit was in his heart. So Paul could say, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Next step then is believed. You believe in Christ. Now, again, it's not a matter of the head. I believe he lived. I believe he lived at a certain time in history. Lots of people believe that. Paul meant that he believed in Christ as his saviour, as his friend, as the one who would look after him all his life long. And this is what he's saying here. I know whom I have believed. It's the best person in all the world. And I'm persuaded, convinced, absolutely sure, trusting my life on it, that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now, it's commitment that I really want you to grasp today. When I was reading the Bible before I was saved, and I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I knew then that he'd come to me. I knew I could trust him forever, because he's God. I knew he could be absolutely trusted. But trusted to do what? Trusted to do what? To look after that which I've committed to him. Now, there's only one me. If I trust my life to somebody and he doesn't care, I've had it. But I feel confident, I'm persuaded that Jesus, who has befriended me and who's died for me, and I am a sinner, that he will take care. I've committed my life, my capacities, things I can do, my body, my only existence to him. If he is not who he says he is, I've had it. But I don't believe that for one single moment. He is the Saviour. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Lots of people get stuck here, and it's a shame because it's the best bit. They think, yeah, I believe the Lord Jesus. I like to know about him. But I don't want to commit to anything. I don't want to have him looking after my life, leading me to tell me what to do. I don't want this. But it's the best thing in the world to be committed to a one like Christ. People are committed to different things. They can be committed to football teams. They can be committed to political politicians. But there's no one better to be committed to. You can commit the very centre of your person, the very important thing about you, to such a one as Jesus Christ, the Saviour. I know he is able, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. So I've committed my life, I've committed my thoughts, I've committed all I do to him, and he's got them in his hand, and he will preserve me and them. And you've got these funny words at the end. He's able to commit to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Funny expression. We don't use it in modern English, particularly against. But it means this, that when the judgment day comes and they're suddenly about to say to me, your turn to be examined by God, when that happens, everything I've committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, he will step in and say, I love him. He loved me or her. That he's able to keep that which I've committed to him at the most important time there'll ever be, when the world ends and I stand before the judgment throne. He's able to keep me, what I've committed to, my whole life, my soul, my brain, my action, against that day. All the time, meanwhile, but when it really matters, he'll step in for me, because he died for me. So these are wonderful words. The Bible is full of wonderful words. It is God speaking to us. You should make it your number one reading. If you don't read, try and learn to read. I don't mean try and learn to read, but I mean find some books you can read. But when you've done that, find the best one. And that best one is undoubtedly the Bible. Because it tells about the most important things, about the Lord Jesus, about God, about our condition, what's going to happen to us. There's eternal life. So you weigh it up. Do I want to live forever where there is no more sin, or sorrow, or suffering? Do I want to be in heaven with God when everything that is evil has been removed, me included if I'm not saved? Do I want, is it not so valuable forever and ever and ever and ever for eternity? Does that not outweigh the things I might enjoy over my next 50 years? Think about that. Paul knew and he loved the one he believed and he trusted himself to him. And he knew that Jesus would never let go of him, ever, and particularly not on the day of judgment. I would like to think you'd all trust your lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing you can ever do. And if you don't do it, as millions of people don't do it, heaven will not be your destination. Now, we're going to sing the remaining hymn. If you've got your hymn book to open, it's the same page. It's